fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
Good morning and welcome to Fitter Happier. With COVID-19 restrictions easing and life slowly going back to normal, live music events are back on the social calendar. Listening to loud music and attending live music events can pose a health and safety risk to our ears. Joining us this morning to discuss how we can safely enjoy music and look after our ears is Dr. Roberta Marino, Senior Audiologist at Fiona Stanley Hospital. Welcome, Roberta, and thanks for joining us on the program today.
Thanks, Madeline. It's my pleasure.
So, Roberta, we've all had parents tell us our music is too loud. Just how delicate are our ears?
Yeah, they are really delicate. They're a really fine-tuned instrument, which work so well when everything's working optimally. But they are really susceptible to damage. Yeah, as you said, from noise, and that's the biggest reason for hearing loss in the world. About 37% of hearing loss in the world would be preventable if we could make our noise exposure safer. And that's, you know, occupationally as well as recreationally, like going to live music events. And there's part of the ear, in the inner ear, the cochlea, the part that looks like a snail shell. There's these tiny little hearing hair cells, the little microscopic cells that pick up sounds, and if they're exposed to too much noise at too high a level, they can be damaged. So if you think of each of these little hearing hair cells as a stalk of wheat, so you see this big expanse, a big field of wheat, each of them are standing upright. When there's noise damage, imagine that this field of wheat, you know, part of it is blown over and these little stalks no longer standing upright but have fallen down, and that was what can happen to these little hearing hair cells. And over time and lots of exposure, they can be damaged permanently. They don't grow back in frogs and birds. They can grow back but not in mammals. So yeah, once it's gone, they're gone, unfortunately.
So our ears are very, very delicate. As you were saying, frogs and birds, you were saying that they can grow back in that sense. That's very, very interesting. I had no idea about that. But in humans, once they're damaged, they are damaged in that sense. So how common is hearing loss?
Yeah, so in Australia, it's about 1 in 6, 1 to 7 people. And some of it is through occupational exposure, some is through recreational exposure. It gets worse as we get older, and more men are likely to have hearing loss than women, partly because of work-related exposure. So, yeah, more men are in probably noisier environments. So say if in Australia, 2.2 million men have hearing loss compared to women, which is 1.4 million. But it's not only the noise exposure through work. Men are more likely to have what's called hazardous hearing behaviour. So they're more likely to listen to louder music or be exposed to louder sounds recreationally. So yeah, there's quite a few of us, like 1 in 6 to 1 in 7 people is a big proportion of the population. And it costs us a lot.
For sure.
It costs us a lot. And not just in Australia, it's across the world.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge difference, you were saying, just with men and women. It was 1.4, I believe, with women, and then 2.2 with men that kind of suffer from these hearing loss symptoms. And that's almost 50% in a sense, which is quite drastic. Dr. Marino, can you tell us a bit more about the different types of hearing loss?
Yeah, so you can have hearing loss that's caused by a blockage in the outer part of your ear. So we've got our outer ear that we can see. Then you've got our ear canal, sort of like a tunnel that helps funnel sound through, and that's where we produce earwax. And then you've got your eardrum and these tiny little bones. If there's a blockage in the ear canal or a problem with the eardrum or with the little ear bones, the ossicles, that that can cause what's called a conductive loss. Ear infections can do the same, or something you might have heard of, things like gluia, which can affect a lot of younger people and young children. So that's a conductive loss. Not always, but often those type of losses are treatable. There's something you can do. However, when you get further in, and it's the cochlea with those tiny little hearing hair cells and the hearing nerve, that's when it's that part of the system that's not working. That's called a sensory neural hearing loss. And those type of losses are permanent. There's nothing you can do to regrow those hearing hair cells, nothing you can do to regrow the hearing nerve. So once that's gone, that's gone. And some people have a combination. They might have a hole in their eardrum, so that's causing a problem with the conduction of sound. And they also might have a noise-induced hearing loss on top of that, which has affected their cochlea, their inner ear. So, yeah, they're the main sort of how we categorise hearing losses.
It's amazing how sort of small and delicate they are. And like you were saying, those hair follicles, that if they're damaged, there's no way of them being able to grow back, which is also a scary thing. So how can we prevent damage to our ears, especially when attending music events?
Yeah, so and it's a shame because it's a bit ironic and a little bit scary in a way that in noise in workplaces, it's really closely monitored. People have access to hearing protection. And so when I'm talking, well, I don't know how loud your listeners have their radios, but so when I'm talking at a normal level, my voice is around 60, 65 decibels. If I was to whisper, it might be about 30 to 40 decibels. If I was to shout, it might be 70, 75 decibels. And anything above, so the higher the number, the louder sound. Anything above 85 decibels is considered to be at a level where it's starting to damage your hearing. And at a concert, you could have a live music event. You could have music at 100 decibels plus. So, yeah, they're really high risk situations. So it could be, you could be at a concert. And what you could do is put like those little foam earplugs you can get that you can easily access, like even from Bunnings, quite cheap, or a chemist, and put them in the ears just to dampen the amount of sound you're exposed to. You could even try and, if possible, stay away from speakers and amps. If you're a really a lover of music, sometimes the little foam earplugs, they don't give you all the pitches or different frequencies of sounds aren't dampened equally. So if it's really important that you hear the music perfectly, you can even get specially made plugs. And musicians have a lot of this for themselves so that you get a real natural and true sound. If you can, have breaks, so getting away from the event and then coming back in just to give your ears and those little hearing hair cells a break. Try not to go to too many concerts in a row. So I don't know if you've got these events on every weekend. That's probably not great because your ears won't have time to recover. And that, probably the last thing is when you are drinking or any, you know, if you're exposed to any other sort of medication, sometimes that can dampen how you feel, how loud you feel the sounds are. So it can dampen the pain that you sometimes associate when or experience when there's really loud sounds. So, yeah, I guess wearing foam plugs, try to stay away from speakers and try and have breaks. Really good to try and protect your ears as much as you can.
You're tuned into On The Record, and I'm joined by Dr. Roberta Marino, Senior Audiologist at Fiona Stanley Hospital, and we're discussing how we can safely enjoy music and look after our ears in the process. So, Dr. Marino, like you were saying, I think it's really sort of crucial to be wary of our ear safety. I know that I've spent many kind of nights at concerts or festivals or at events close to speakers, not being able to sort of hear what's going on and just hearing a ringing in my ear when I wake up the next day, which is awful. So I want to know, apart from listening to loud music, are there any other activities we need to be wary of when thinking about our ears?
Our world is really noisy and our ears were probably developed to listen to be in a quieter world. So even things like power tools or blower vacs, lawnmowers, hair dryers, believe it or not, they're really noisy. Going to the movies can be really loud. If you use any firearms or exposed to explosives, they can also have an effect on your hearing. So anything around or above, say, 85 decibels for extended periods of time can have a damaging effect. And there's some really nice apps that are for free. If you've got a smartwatch, you can even access little sound level meters that measure how loud sounds in your environment are. So they're quite handy to give you an idea on how loud different sounds are, because we don't really realise that, like, people don't think a hairdryer is going to be damaging, but it can be. Simple everyday things we do can be damaging our ears.
It's amazing. I think we kind of obviously don't have an awareness of how loud something is. We're not constantly counting the decibels. If it's over that sort of 70, 75 mark, we're not sort of, attuned to it in that sense. So it's amazing to kind of hear you speaking about things like hair dryers and those kind of items of technology having this sort of effect on our ears without us even realizing. So apart from the obvious of not being able to hear well, how do we know if we have ear damage, and are there any signs?
So you actually brought it up yourself, Madeline, where if you have exposure to loud sounds, like at a loud music event, you can often get noises in your ears, like ringing or buzzing or all different types of noises. And some so they often call it tinnitus if it's there for a long period of time. It is normal to get tinnitus. It comes and goes. But it is often associated with hearing loss and exposure to loud sounds. I guess if you have pain in the ears or your ears feel blocked, that can also be a sign. And this is very general, and there's lots of conditions that can make you feel more tired than usual. But if you're really straining to hear and concentrate, you can put so much of your cognitive energy into that, it's harder to process what people are saying. So it could be you're just tireder than usual. Hearing in background noise can be more difficult. And some people with hearing loss, I mean, it doesn't always go hand in hand, but can sometimes you can have more problems with your balance. So the hearing and the balance systems are really closely aligned. And yeah, so if you have problems with your hearing, you may be more likely to have balance problems. Not necessarily, but you may be more likely.
For sure. And what you were saying about tinnitus there, I know somebody who recently had COVID and said that they had tinnitus as a result of COVID as well, which is really interesting. Mm. I don't know if you'd be able to kind of comment anything about that and how they've had sort of issues related with their ears in the past. But you were saying tinnitus is something that sort of comes and goes. Could this be the case with COVID, or is it something that's more permanent?
So it's hard. Tinnitus, yeah, it could. I mean, you can get tinnitus more if you're under stress or you're unwell or tired. So it could be related to that. I've heard something similar, I haven't seen any research that's definitely found why it's happening. But I'm just actually looking it up now. It's saying that about 14.8% of people who developed COVID experienced tinnitus as a symptom, but another study was found it was about 4.5%. But the study, they weren't sure if people were looking at new tinnitus or people who had increased or had just started after the COVID. So I think it's a little bit hard to know just
early
yet,
days.
Probably early days.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
If you're not well, sick or stressed, those things can make your tinnitus worse. So it could also be related to that.
For sure, there are many contributing factors. I want to know if someone is sort of concerned about their hearing or any sort of damages related to their ears, or think that they may have hearing loss in some degree. What should they do?
So I guess the first port of call, talk to your GP. They're usually really good at directing people on where to go next. You can also see an audiologist. If your hearing loss is sudden, so it's out of the blue and it's quite significant, and you're really concerned about it, definitely talk to your GP. And they may even direct you. It's very rare, but some people have a sudden hearing loss that drops quite severely. So some people are even recommended to go to hospital to get that checked out as soon as possible. But for the everyday person, seeing an audiologist is really useful. They'll look at your hearing and they can even see which part of the hearing pathway may be the reason for your hearing loss, whether it's the outer part of your ear, like your ear canal, eardrum, or the bones, or whether it's further in your cochlea or your hearing nerve. If you're under 26 or on a pension or with Veterans Affairs, you can access free hearing tests. And if you need hearing aids, you can access them for free as well, which is quite good. There's lots of options, but GP and audiologists are probably your best starting point.
So, Dr. Marino, on the internet, you can come across a lot of videos on social media that claim to test how old your ears are by listening to different frequencies. And, of course, everybody has their opinion about this. Just how accurate are these tests?
It is definitely true that, for most of us, when we're younger, we can hear sounds from 20 hertz, a really, really low pitched, through to around 20,000 hertz, and that's super high pitched. And as we get older, that range shrinks. So we can't hear up to 20,000 hertz anymore. It starts to decline. There's a lot of variability. Everyone has different access to high frequency sounds. But yeah, it definitely does diminish as we get older. This is not an official study because I was trying to find some and it wasn't easy to see how accurate these tests were. But I've got some colleagues we've done a few of these and they're not that accurate. They're not bad. I mean, they're probably 3 to 10 years off with our ages. And we're people who look after our ears because we are quite aware of what noise damage and things can do. So, yeah, I wouldn't be worried if you don't pass it or if you're like seem older than your ears are older than you are because there's a lot of variability. I'd say it's more a fun thing to do. As a general rule, we do have less access to high frequency sounds. But I wouldn't worry if you don't meet that, if your age and your hearing age don't match up.
I remember doing these tests when I was a lot younger and with friends as well, and we all had such anxiety about if we weren't able to hear sort of frequencies that were within our age range. But it's good to know that, you know, these tests are sort of an average estimate, or it's better to go see a GP about your hearing if there are any concerns. So don't solely rely on these sort of methods on the internet. But I remember, doing these tests, getting a bit anxious about if I was able to hear within my age range. But hopefully my hearing's fine. I can hear you very well. And I'm in radio, it's a good sign. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Roberta Marino. We appreciate your time. I've learnt lots and I'm sure our listeners have too.